powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross. Here we go now.
Let's talk about what's going on at the annual meetings with Seahawks.com's John Boyle joining us now in the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. A lot to cover with the Seahawks and the league. John, how's it going?
It's going great. Having a nice day down here. Currently working outside, about 80 degrees.
Oh, well, keep bragging, why don't you? I mean, it's like, it's sunny here. It's just still, it's still freezing. It's still Seattle early spring weather.
We actually had a conversation with Mike McDonald last night, kind of breaking down the Seattle spring. He's like, yeah, it was really nice when I left town last week. Is it still like, oh, no. That was just a tease. You got to wait a while.
Yeah, and Seattle weather is also like, oh, it was really nice when I left my house this morning. Is it still? Like, that's more of a Seattle weather change for you. Speaking of Mike McDonald, what stood out to you most from the conversation this morning?
I mean, boy, there was a ton just from, we sat down with him for a good 35 minutes at that annual meeting coaches breakfast they do. So a lot of good stuff. It was kind of fun. I think he intentionally doesn't want to give too much away from his defense because, you know, it's new and nobody's seen how he's going to do it in Seattle, but just some little teases about kind of how he wants it to look, how the new guys that they signed, the linebackers and safeties, will fit in. That stuff was pretty interesting. And then obviously on the offensive side of the ball, a lot of talk about the line. And both he and John Schneider were pretty upfront. Like, look, we're not done there. Like, it's still a work in progress. They like some of the guys they've added who can come in and compete. But I think it's pretty obvious to everyone involved that they're going to need to add to that interior line between now and September.
Boyle, how do you think he's settling in to being the head coach of an NFL team? I mean, you met him when he got the job and he was announced and kind of been around him a bit more than the rest of us. Has his demeanor changed? Have you seen a change? Or is he just the same old Mike that you've known for the past, couple months?
No, I mean, he seems to be the same guy we met, in the day they introduced him. But he talked about it. It's just been a big learning process. I think the phrase he used, he said, there's no manual. Like, you're a first-time head coach. You can get advice from people. I mean, he's got Leslie Frazier in the building, who he's cited multiple times as a great resource. But until you've done it yourself, there's just, there's no replacing that experience. So everything's new to him. He spent a lot of time building a coaching staff and doing all that. And, we talked to John Schneider a little bit this afternoon, and he was just raving about everything he's seen out of Mike McDonald so far in terms of how he's interacted with people around the building, how he's put together that coaching staff. Schneider talked about he was more involved in the coordinator interviews, sitting in on those. And then when he saw how well Mike McDonald handled the coordinators, he just kind of stepped back and was like, you got this, you build your staff. So I think he's, doing everything right so far. But, Mike keeps saying, it's like, look, until we play games, you just don't know how you're doing. I mean, you can feel great about everything, but if you go out and you stink in the start of the season, then you kind of reevaluate things. So it's positive so far, but it's all new to him.
Obviously, the Jamal Adams news, not news, I guess his reaction when asked, is Jamal Adams coming back a realistic possibility? Was making a few headlines just with Jamal Adams being a bigger name. What's your interpretation of that? Because, John, for me, I'm so used to people asking, could Jamal Adams be a linebacker? And me going, no.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, am I wrong about everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, on one hand, Jamal's a big name and he's the one that they were asked about. So that was in the headline. But, you probably could have gone through a lot of guys who are still free agents and said, oh, is he that's always been a John Schneider thing. It's like, we don't close the door on anybody. But that being said, the way he talked about Jamal kind of got into the specifics, like the work he's done around the line of scrimmage, lets you know that, it's at least something they're entertaining, because I don't think that Mike McDonald would have that answer ready to go if they had just completely closed the book on him and decided now we've moved on. So, we'll see. It would have to work out for both sides, and financially, and, both people would have to be on board, and Jamal would have to be happy with what he's being told about his role. So who knows? I don't think that's anything that's imminent by any means, but that's something that John Schneider's always taken pride in, is A, you don't, close the door on anything, and B, you maintain positive relationships. And we've seen it with guys, who get cut, get traded, whatever, and they find their way back. So I just think that's, the kind of thing where you never say never, and you kind of leave the door open in case something does work out.
Hey, Boyle, we've been going back and forth about how we feel the offense needs to come out hot to kind of take the charge, even though you have a defensive coach in Mike McDonald and he's going to do some things with that defense. the offense seems a bit more equipped to kind of lead the charge. Do you feel that way, or do you think the defense has a chance to lead?
You know, I think, you know, just looking at what we know about the guys on the roster, that's safe. That's kind of a fair point. Although, you know, let's wait and see how that offensive line sorts out as well. But yeah, I mean, defensively, look, you go out and hire the coordinator of the best defense in the NFL, you expect to get better, and, you know, probably a lot better. So they, you know, regardless of who's out there, I think they're expecting to be a lot better on defense, but we don't know what it's going to look like yet, both schematically, and there's a lot of new guys. You know, they signed two new linebackers and two new safeties who, as their roster is currently constructed, are going to play pretty significant roles. Now, you know, maybe you draft somebody and that's new also, but there's going to be a lot of new faces on that defense. You know, up front, it'll look pretty familiar in terms of the personnel, but the back end of that defense up the middle is going to look quite a bit different. But yeah, I mean, look, Mike McDonald was hired here in large part to come in and get that defense turned around. So mm-hmm. I think they're expecting him to do that.
John Schneider, we'll get back to Mike McDonald too. We'll probably go back and forth. But John Schneider also spoke with you guys. He had a lot to say about Sam Howell, a few other things. What stands out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the quarterback stuff was interesting. I think, you know, both those guys have made the point multiple times that, you know, Geno Smith is their guy, but that doesn't mean they don't really like the upside in Sam Howell and see him as a guy that, you know, has a bright future. The point Schneider's made, you know, on the radio with your station and also with us today is that he's 23 years old. He's the same age or younger than most of the quarterbacks we're talking about in this upcoming draft, and he's already got a full season of starting under his belt. So, you know, it wasn't perfect last year for him. He threw a lot of interceptions and got sacked a lot, but he also was asked to do a ton. He, you know, attempted the most passes in the NFL. They didn't really run the ball much at all to help him out. So John Schneider really sees a ton of upside there and thinks he's a guy that, you know, even if he's not going to be the starter right now, could have a bright future in the NFL.
How does or have you heard Mike McDonald talk about Uchenna? You got pretty much a year where you don't really see him, but I feel like, yeah, you know, he has to be one of the catalysts to this defense. Have you heard him speak on Uchenna much?
Yeah, he talked about him a little bit today. He and John Schneider both did. You know, the question came up, first of all, about his injury and how he's doing. And sounds like, you know, that injury happened early enough in the year. I think the expectation is he's back and ready to go for the start of the season and probably for training camp. But, yeah, both those guys, when asked about Uchenna's injury, then turned it around, just talk about how much he means to the team, you know, what a leader he is, what a good player he is. And you know, Schneider was pretty frank about it today, just like how much that affected them when they lost him last year. I mean, that was a pretty big blow. And you can't pin everything on one guy, but when you look at like the run game numbers and kind of how that defense took a turn for the worse last season, it did pretty closely coincide with his injury. So getting him back and healthy is going to be a huge deal for that defense front.
Both Mike McDonald and John Schneider have spoken a lot about Geno in the last couple weeks, including obviously this morning. They've also talked about the draft, though. I'm sure John hesitant to give away any insight there. But what does your feeling tell you after hearing them talk a couple times about how they're seeing their quarterback room in general?
Yeah, I mean, the point Schneider made today is that you go out and you get Sam Howell so you don't feel like your hand is forced. Because that's kind of when you make bad decisions, where it's like, okay, we need to come out of this with at least a backup quarterback. Then maybe you're taking a guy in the third round who you have a fourth round grade on because you don't see any good quarterbacks left. This kind of protects them from making a bad decision. But in terms of just that, what Schneider talked about, how, you know, they want to draft a quarterback every year and he's not proud of his track record of not drafting quarterbacks, I don't think that changes. If the right guy's there, I think they're fine having three quarterbacks, you know, sorting that out later. And looking at the future, because that position is so important. You need to, you know, even if you feel really good about the guys you have, you want to keep adding to it and finding guys who can help you. So I don't think, you know, obviously if you have Howell now, it probably decreases the overall chances you draft a quarterback, but it doesn't make it, you know, I would not be surprised at all if even, you know, in the first couple of days of the draft, if they took a quarterback.
The competition committee has been busy, man. And the biggest one, in my opinion, is the hip drop. You got a defensive guy, Mike McDonald.
I thought you were going to go kickoff. Okay.
Well, the more interesting conversations I've had have been about the hip drop. Has Mike addressed that? And what are you hearing about that as far as, you know, the coaches' reactions?
Yeah, Mike was asked about it. And, you know, people might think, oh, defensive guys are going to hate it. But he was pretty clear that he liked it, and he said, you know, they just got to coach that up right, and that's not a technique they coach anyway, and it's, you know, just the injury rate on that play is too high. So I get, like, it's frustrating for defensive players because you feel like everything the league does makes your job harder and makes the offense's job easier. So I totally understand the frustration. But at the same time, when you look at the injuries that happen on that play, like, it's, you got to figure out a way to avoid those. And I think one important distinction, I kept seeing people, you know, on Twitter or whatever, it's like, hip drop, tackle banned, hip drop, tackle banned. It's not actually banned. It's the very specific combination of that, what they call the swivel hip drop and coming down on the guy's leg. So I can't remember who posted, but there's a good rugby, because rugby's outlawed this, and they put out a, you know, officiating video breaking it down. And you have all sorts of examples of a hip drop tackle where you land next to the guy instead of on the guy, and that's still perfectly legal. It's that motion of coming crashing down on the back of the guy's legs that's causing all the injuries.
I'll look at the kickoff stuff. Bump and I were talking about it earlier today, so we've covered a lot of it. But we were going to get to a conversation about Deskridge and then didn't because we had breaking news. I saw our friend, Bob Condotta, hypothesize that maybe the team was hanging on to that. D because they anticipated that this rule change could happen, which was really intriguing to me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, to Bob's point, I think that definitely increases his value. At the same time, I'm not sure that, you know, without a kickoff rule, they'd move on from Deskridge because he's, you know, still under contract for another year on a rookie deal. And despite, you know, pretty terrible injury luck throughout his career, he's a guy that they see a ton of upside in. So it's kind of, you know, you're not guaranteeing him a spot on the 53-man roster by bringing him back. It's just, hey, let's see what happens in camp and how he does, and you hope he can help you. But for sure, across the league, returners are going to be more valuable because we're going to see, you know, pretty big uptick in returns. And I'm just fascinated to see what this looks like because, you know, you've seen all the different XFL clips of, you know, teams essentially like designing different return plays that almost look like more like running plays, like, you know, spread running plays where you can put guys, you know, do reverses and all these different things. So it's, I'm really curious to see how this looks. And I'm, you know, there's probably going to be issues that come up that like, oh, that was an unforeseen consequence and we don't love this part of it. And that's why they do these rules a lot of times, these new changes on a 1-year basis, so they can revisit it at this time next year. But just the idea of making kick returns more prevalent again and trying to keep it safe at the same time, I'm all for seeing that change.
Is there any rule change that you're hearing that guys are just against? Like, the majority of these guys just don't like it, and it's going to be rough for the NFL next year.
I mean, not really, because, you know, obviously they have to pass. So but player wise, obviously, we, you know, the tip drop tackle we just talked about, that the NFLPA put out its statement on it, and we've seen plenty of players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, be pretty vocal. But for the most part, you know, those are the two biggest ones, but even the smaller ones, like, I don't see a lot of downside in most of the ones. I like the idea of giving coaches another challenge when they get one right, because that idea of, like, you can win a challenge in the fourth quarter and then just be out of challenge has always seemed odd to me. So I like that idea, and the adding the review element to intentional grounding, I'm a big fan of. Geno Smith had one last year where it was, you know, a miscommunication with the receiver, so it looks like he's throwing it away, but he's not actually under pressure, and the official just didn't see it that way and threw the flag. That's now reviewable. If the defensive player is not within 2 yards of the quarterback, that's considered an objective call, not a subjective one that they can review.
Last one for me, John. Mike McDonald hinted pretty strongly that they would continue to add to the offensive line soon here, including the interior offensive line. Given that they're probably going to add, you know, a guard or someone coming up here, are you looking at tackle, though they have two starters, but at tackle is a potential first-round pick for them?
I mean, well, are we talking tackle who's going to play tackle? Probably not. But right, some of these tackles that that are, you know, looking at as potential tackles moving to guard, then sure, I think that could be a way they go for sure. I mean, depending on how they view those top guys and where they end up picking, if they stay at 16 or move back a little bit. But yeah, I mean, pretty clearly, if you want to talk like what the most obvious need on this roster is right now, it's figuring out the guard situation. You know, one starting guard from last year is gone. Phil Haynes is still a free agent, and, you know, they like what they saw in Anthony Bradford, but he's still a young guy, still learning. And, you know, you need to get better there and get deeper for sure. Even if your starters are currently on the roster, you got to have depth. So I think that's a position that makes a ton of sense in the draft, and sure, a first round pick. Now, again, I don't necessarily see them using a first round pick on a tackle who plays tackle, because I think they really like what they have in Cross and Lucas.
You see Jerry Jones walking around out there anywhere, John?
I have not seen him yet.
Shocking.
You know, at the combine, we always see his bus all over the streets, but I have not seen him or his bus yet.
So. All right. Get out there and enjoy the sun. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
He is Seahawks.com reporter John Boyle, kind enough to join us from the NFL's annual meetings where they had the NFC coaches talking this morning. John went to that breakfast, heard from both Mike McDonald and John Schneider, giving us some updates. Thanks, John. Let's head to the station for Hype Train. I got a couple really specific ones today, but they're tied to all of our news stories. So I'm going to start with the news that broke earlier in our show during the timeline. Pat Chun, former Washington State athletic director, heading to rival Washington to be their new AD, replacing Troy Dannon on a 6-year deal. Some fans, Coug fans, getting kind of upset about this one. Here's your hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Pat Chun should not have taken a job at a rival school.
Here's the thing. You make decisions for you. If you made decisions based off of what other people think or other people are going to feel, you limit yourself. We always talk about guys taking the next step up. Athletic department, UW is the next step up. For Coug Nation, I know he better turn off his notifications. He better quiet the comments on some stuff because people are going to go after him. But those are people who just care about WSU and really dislike UW. But Pat made a decision for him, his career, and for his family. So as much as it hurts, as much as it's going to be so weird to see him in that purple, nah, man, he's good. You go ahead and do what's best for you.
Pat Chun should not have taken a job at a rival school. Bump is not boarding that train. He said, look, do what's best for you. Do what's best for your family. It hurts, but I get it. Curtis, are you boarding?
In a perfect world, I think, yeah, you'd love to take the high road and be like, nah, I'm sticking it out here in Washington State. But he's got to do what's best for himself. And if that was the move, then, I mean, go right ahead, Pat Chun. Make that move. Yeah, like Bump said, you can't really make those kinds of decisions for everybody else. You got to make it for yourself. But the optics of it do not look good. And he's the one that has to live with it at the end of the day. None of us are the ones that have to answer to Coug fans or to Husky fans. So if that's what he felt was best for himself and best for his career, tip of the cap to him. But the optics don't look great. But I will not board this train. I don't think he shouldn't have turned this job down simply because it was a rival school.
Yeah, I am not boarding this train either. I recognize and respect principles that people have when they are just diehard loyalists to their schools and they're like, I refuse. Like, I always love that quote from Ken Griffey Jr. Obviously, it's not to the school, but it was to the Mariners being like, I'd retire if the Yankees were the
Yankees traded for me. Yeah.
I've always loved that attitude, but I also recognize and respect when some people don't have that. Pat Chun did not grow up in Washington State. He did not go to Washington State. He's done a lot for that program, for that school. And you found another opportunity and you're moving on. It's kind of like where I've gotten with Kalen DeBoer. At first I was like, what, Kalen, how could you? And then I thought, you know what? I would take an opportunity at another place for $10 million and set up my family for life. And I think most people listening would do the exact same thing.
Let's say calm down. Everyone needs to just call at us tomorrow, maybe in a couple days.
Speaking of UW, next hype train. Danny Sprinkle, new coach for Husky men's hoops. He will have the Huskies in the NCAA tourney within 2 seasons.
Here's the thing. There's so much basketball talent in Washington. If you just took care of home, you could. This is about, what, 5, 8 guys in the NBA right now from the state of Washington.
That's a local talent.
It's very possible that he gets it done. And now that he has a new AD who understands, I think, how to get that done with him hiring Kyle Smith. I'm talking about Pat. I'm still going to say it's going to be tough. So I don't think he's going to get her done, get him to the tournament, but I think he will have them extremely competitive.
All right, Curtis, the hype train is that new Washington men's hoops head coach Danny Sprinkle will have the Huskies in the NCAA tourney within 2 seasons.
I think if they were staying in the Pac-12, I would jump on board without reservation, without any sort of hesitation. But the Big Ten is a lot different. Thank you. I think the Big Ten is a much different kind of beast than the Pac-12 has been. You've got great programs with lots of tradition, and then programs also that have had down years that are historically great too, like Michigan and Ohio State. I would expect them to be a lot more competitive too. The Big Ten is just going to be a gauntlet for any program like Washington. So within 2 seasons, I hope that happens. I don't know if it's going to, so I'm not going to board this train. Even though Sprinkle led Utah State to the NCAA tournament, and they were down prior to him arriving in Logan. So
yeah,
I think he can do it, but I don't think it happens.
I'm going to say it will, but because I'm just like willing it into existence. Do I actually think it happens? I don't even want to say yes or no. That's none of your business. but I am saying it will for just some momentum. You go, Danny Sprinkle.
I will say, though,
go.
With the transfer portal in college basketball,
hey,
you can rebuild a lot quicker than you can in football.
That's one of the things that when we talk about all the ways college sports have changed, we don't focus on enough how quickly you can turn a program around. That's a really good point. Next type train into the station. This will probably be our last one. Get your brackets out and ready for this one. The Sweet 16 begins, Sweet 16 round of the NCAA men's tourney begins on Thursday. That is what we're looking at for this. We will see at least one number one seeded team fall out of the Sweet 16. So on Thursday, number one North Carolina taking on number four Alabama. Number one UConn taking on number five San Diego State. On Friday, you have number one Purdue taking on Gonzaga and number one Houston taking on Duke.
Okay, give me just 0.5 seconds because I got to look at my bracket and tell you what I was thinking on that one morning.
So you're going with your actual choices.
At 5 o'clock in the morning because I'm a big believer in putting the energy out there.
You filled that out last.
I filled it out. So I woke up in a panic. I'm like, oh, my bracket. I haven't filled my bracket yet. So I have, you know what? Nah, they're all good. They're Gucci.
Yeah,
everyone's Gucci.
I did the same thing.
Everyone's
so
good.
Exciting. Curtis, give us an exciting answer.
Exciting answer. Well, we're going to board this train. We are absolutely boarding this train. And the game that I'm seeing this weekend where where our number one seed is going to go down in the Sweet 16 round, cover your ears, Mike Lefko. But that Gonzaga basketball team has played really well to start the tournament. Back-to-back 20-point victories. Purdue obviously blew out Utah State, but Purdue, as we know, has been pretty vulnerable the last few years in the NCAA tournament. This Zags team is playing some really, really good basketball as of late. I think Gonzaga gets it done on Friday, Friday afternoon. That's a 4:39 tip time on TBS. So I think the Zags get it done. Zach Edey, start learning Chinese, buddy.
I'm not boarding, but I love that answer. I love that there was an argument made for a number one seed falling, and I could absolutely see it. That Gonzaga team is hot right now. Hottest team, though, obviously UConn. They're so dominant. UConn isn't losing. But do you know how many brackets would crumble? UConn has so clearly been just the dominant favorite pick in this tournament. It would be a shame if someone who chose Tennessee in a different bracket contest had that happen. You know, you'd hate to see that for everyone else. All right, you are listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. As a reminder, you have Mariners baseball coming your way at 1, so we have a short show today, just 30 minutes left with you guys. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know coming your way at 45 after, 866-979-3776. Taking a look around the NFL next, some interesting changes to the schedule. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Taking a look around the NFL, we are going to start with some interesting holiday plans for the league. The NFL will have a Christmas Day doubleheader despite the holiday falling on a Wednesday this year. That's right. That means you get Wednesday night football and presumably Wednesday afternoon football. To accommodate the short week, the four teams involved, we don't know yet, will play the Saturday before their game on Christmas. So you got a weird schedule. So that means if the Seahawks are one of these teams, we're going to have a Saturday game and a Wednesday game.
Which also means that I will be working 12 hours on a Wednesday.
Oh.
And they possibly be cutting in on my college money on a Saturday. NFL, I need you to switch this up immediately. Do not put the Seahawks in this thing, but just my luck, they're going to be in it. But let me say that sports on Christmas is fun to me.
Me too.
Love watching the NBA on Christmas. Football last year was on Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was a Sunday, right? Yep, on Christmas. I mean, was it Sunday last year?
I think so.
Right? Anyway, I like it. It's just there's something about being with the fam. If the Hawks probably won't be with the fam, but being with the fam and watching sports, man, I like it. I'm sure the players are going to have something to say about it. NFLPA might have something to say about it because it jacks up their schedule, puts more strain on their body. But for the consumer, I think we can agree that Football Wednesday sounds good.
I agree. I kind of am always split between those two things of knowing that players don't especially love short weeks, knowing that they don't love big changes to the schedule, and knowing that no one likes to work on holidays. But you know what I love doing on holidays? Relaxing and watching TV. Mm-hmm. So as a viewer, as a fan, I love this. I am so excited for football on before that, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. That is a lot of football.
It was on a Monday last year.
Oh, Monday Christmas, last year. Yeah, uh-huh. So it's like a, what would be a normal prime time. Yep. But, I mean, that is a lot of football the week leading into Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited for it. Well, some other stuff going on. This one is an international game, and it also has some streaming information here. The Eagles' season opening game in Sao Paulo, Brazil, will air exclusively on Peacock. Amazon will also be getting an exclusive playoff game. I'm going to say this, and Wyman and Bob are not going to like it. I am always very okay with streaming services having games because I have all of them, and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it don't bother me either.
No.
Peacock, they're trying to capture that 30% that they left out there. They said, well, 71% of the people kept their subscription. They're trying to cash out the other 29, 30. I like this. I didn't know that there was a huge football following in Brazil. Like the NFL just doesn't go to a country and say, oh, let's see what happens. They do their research. They see what the interest is like. And apparently there's a big interest out there. So let's see what the crowd looks like. And I wonder if it's anything like Germany. Because when we went to Germany, everybody was just wearing any football jersey they had. Didn't matter what teams were playing. But good, man. Keep growing the game. I like it.
All right, next up here, the NFL's banning surprise onside kicks outside of the fourth quarter and overtime due to safety concerns for the receiving team. Here's the thing, though. There were only two onside kicks before the fourth quarter during the entirety of last season.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you're getting ahead of something that you didn't really need to get ahead of and saying, oh, we can't surprise them anymore. When does a team really surprise? That's such a gamble, and most onside kicks aren't recovered by the kicking team anyway. NFL, sometimes it's just doing a little too much.
Yeah.
And this feels like doing just a little too much.
Curtis, didn't you say onside kick was the one rule that you would change just because they're so boring and you know they're never going to be recovered? Curtis is not. Curtis is distracted.
He's working.
I'm cutting sound.
Sorry,
Jason
sorry.
Churchill audio.
Oh, nice. Well, it was a great interview. So I guess in that case, I'm cool with it. In response to the NFLPA player survey, Patriots owner Robert Kraft says his team will be building a new $50 million practice facility adjacent to their current one. Talk about listening and doing something.
There you go. Got a new head coach, new practice facility, 50 million of them things. It's nice when these owners take the feedback and do something about it. Sometimes they're so caught up in their pride. This is the way we do things. It doesn't matter. Good for Robert Kraft, man. He's switching it up.
I mean,
I like to see it.
It's essentially an anonymous employee survey. That should always matter to everyone. Like, that's why I really liked that Justin Hollander said that even though it was not their employees, that looking at the NFLPA surveys informed him in terms of what players care about. Like, maybe a GM or people in charge of it aren't always thinking about facilities for families, aren't always thinking about travel accommodations. They're thinking of, like, how do I build my team? How do I get these guys ready Sunday? How do I do all this? There's so many other things that play into a player's happiness, their comfort, their success. How great is your training staff? What are the facilities like? What's your equipment like? Do you have free food or not?
This is one way of doing it. And then you can look at the owner for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's saying, look, man, if we don't get these tax exemptions, I ain't doing nothing. So y'all better go out there and vote. He flips it on the public. Yeah. But, hey, whatever works, get it done. I like it, Robert.
The 425 says, well, I just canceled Peacock because I don't use it. Well, then you're not watching the Eagles game. next one here. John Mara, owner of the Giants, says GM Joe Schoen has the green light to draft a quarterback. The question, Bump, is whether they actually will. They got Daniel Jones, still paying him. He's under contract. Obviously, they signed Drew Locke in free agency to compete there. They're a team that eventually will need to move on from Jones. It doesn't seem like they love having him there.
Nah, they know they messed up paying that man. Good for Jones putting together one season and getting the bag. But they know they messed up. I forgot what the contract was for Drew Locke. It's probably not a lot. You go ahead and get yourself a quarterback, a third quarterback to compete. Here's the thing about this guy, Mara. The last couple weeks, he's been out there in the public, in the tabloids, in the media, voicing his opinions. Mm-hmm. He's giving me Jerry Jones vibes. I don't think you're rich enough to give me Jerry Jones vibes. But we'll see how it works out over there for the Giants. If I'm them, if there's a quarterback out there that I really like, you go ahead and get him, because I don't think Daniel Jones is the guy to take you to a Super Bowl.
Do you think Jerry Jones' own vibes have been hurting his team more than helping?
Most definitely.
Like, do you think that Jerry Jones is any part of the reason that the Cowboys have had little to no playoff success since the 90s?
I think his opinion, he gives opinion on things. Now, look, when you're as successful as he is, you're going to have strong opinion on things, and there's nothing to tell you that you shouldn't because you've had all the success business-wise, individually. Look at your teams, they haven't. I own a business. I hire people to do certain things. Mm-hmm. If they know more than me in this certain lane or aspect of the business, I sit back and let them leave. You go ahead and do your thing. Tell me about what do you think about this situation. Then I'll chime in. Jerry's kind of like, nah. All right, what we scheming up? We going to a 3-4 or 4-3? What coverage they playing this weekend? Jerry, just sit down and let your coaches coach, man.
I'm really interested about, speaking of drafting a quarterback, how that's going to work out. The Giants may need to trade up if they want to get J.J. McCarthy. There could be a run. So, I'm combining this with another story, which is that Jim Harbaugh said that it's very intriguing being at the number 5 pick in such a quarterback-rich class. They are not replacing Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm sure he means is it's very intriguing to have a very desirable pick. Arizona may trade their pick, or they may go with someone like Marvin Harrison.
They should go with Marvin Harrison.
If they go with Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 4 overall, J.J. McCarthy, unless there's a shock at number 2, and not Jaden Daniels, it would be 1, 2, 3. J.J. McCarthy is still there available at number 5. Is there a team close enough to 5 to potentially trade there and take him? And would 5 be too rich for your blood for J.J. McCarthy?
The Giants sitting there at 6.
Ooh! You swap with the Chargers, give up a couple picks.
You don't
picks.
Even need a swap. Chargers ain't drafting no quarterback. Yeah, Justin Herbert over there. You're Gucci.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to get your receiver. They're going Adunze or Neighbors. Honestly, I think the Giants can sit tight and they'll have JJ if they want.
Or maybe the idea of swapping is that you own that pick and no one else can trade for it.
Yeah.
So even though you aren't sure, you know that the Chargers aren't going to take a quarterback, you're not sure. I mean, Sean Payton has made it clear that the Broncos are open to making some moves. The Vikings added another first-round pick. So maybe just ensuring that you have it,
but
it would be so annoying to
Chargers,
be that close.
Chargers lost Eckler, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen. All they have is Quinn Johnston over there. I think you have to explore that scenario that you put out there. But you would think you got to get yourself a baller at the skill position with that 5 pick.
Exactly. And otherwise, if you don't take him, the Bears are absolutely taking Odunze to pair with Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. There's no way Rome Odunze falls out of, what, 10?
Nah.
Not a world.
Nah.
All right, you guys, we're wrapping up the show with What I Need to Know. Get your questions in, any question. 866-979-3776. It's the Mac and Jack's text line. Your questions, our answers, coming up next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Text your questions, any question, to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. It's time for What I Need to Know. First question, What I Need to Know. Armchair psychoanalysis, please. Why do people hate listen or hate watch shows? Why wouldn't you watch Care Bears or something more pleasing to you?
Because deep down, you like something about that show. You hate listen, you hate watch. There's something that brings you back. Even if you've convinced yourself that you hate this thing, maybe you hate a lot of things about it, but there's something that connects in your brain that stimulates you, that brings you back. So in reality, you kind of like it, but you tell yourself that you hate it.
Yeah, I think that people do it because it makes them feel something. And I know people talk about entertainment in general, whether it's a show, whether it's a host, whether it's reality stars. Like, it is better to be loved or hated, and you never want to be in between, where people are like, oh, she's on that show? Oh. And I think that that's because there is that visceral response to either. You either love someone and you back them up and you're like, yeah! Or you, like, there are so many reality shows that where I hate watch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everyone on the show's awful. Vanderpump Rules. A lot of people in that show are awful, and I watch it anyways, and me and my sister complain about it, and then I think, why do I do this? But it creates an emotional reaction. I don't know. What I need to know, if J.J. McCarthy falls to 16, do you draft him or trade out of the first round completely?
I think you draft him. I think you draft him. I'm drafting him. Are you drafting him?
I don't know.
I think I'm drafting him.
My fear is that I think I do. My fear is that I take him and he's a bust, and I have spent 2 of my first 3 picks on quarterbacks when I have so many other needs on my team. My other fear is that I move on from Geno. I move on from Sam, or maybe Sam doesn't work out. I enter 2025, and I don't have a quarterback that I want.
That's the.
I don't want to be there.
That's.
I don't
want to
be there as
the
a
draft.
GM. I know. Yeah, I guess I do. Let's see what I need to know. Easter time, Peeps or Cadbury eggs?
I'm going Cadbury eggs.
Yeah, no.
Peeps are disgusting.
No, that you have to choose one of the two, Peeps or
not
Cadbury
Peeps.
Eggs.
Not Peeps.
Cadbury
Peeps
eggs are amazing.
It's just marshmallow, ain't it?
Cadbury eggs?
Nah, the Peeps. Those
yeah,
yellow
it's
things,
just
right?
marshmallow covered yeah. with sprinkles yeah, in the good. Shape
no,
of animals.
Peeps are disgusting.
Let's see.
My 2-year-old won't even eat Peeps. That's how disgusting.
What I need
Take
to,
it away.
What I need to know, my boyfriend's mom's favorite candy is Peeps.
Really?
But also, my best friend, her mom, her favorite ice cream is black licorice. Maybe something happens when you're a mom.
Wait, he's...
What's going on?
She's buying
right?
Peeps outside of the Easter season? I didn't even think they made Peeps outside of Easter.
I don't know. This is what he's said to me.
Wow.
But maybe my mom also likes weird food. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I have heard, though, that if you use a Peep instead of a marshmallow on a s'more, it's pretty good. I've never tried it. Though.
Matthew agrees.
It is one of the best things. That
Wait,
ever
if you
had.
Put a Peep
instead
on
of a marshmallow.
S'more. Okay, yeah, because it's a super sugary marshmallow that's plain by itself, but covered in chocolate and graham cracker.
Exactly.
So I mean, okay, mm-hmm. I'm interested. So I'm interested. Good. What I need to know, I'm sure you guys get this all the time. The lottery is very high, though. If you win $1.1 billion tonight, what are you doing first?
Quitting this job?
Yeah.
What? Bob!
What you mean? I'm out of this piece.
It's the Stacey Ross Show tomorrow.
Stacey and Curtis.
Yeah.
Bob, how could you?
What you mean? You
how
better,
could you?
If you won and you came back.
Wow.
$1 billion?
I go to HR and just make up stuff about you to get you up out of here.
I can't believe you would quit the show for only $1.1
billion. Out of here. And I'm buying a golf course.
We're That's, never going to hear from him again.
No, truly.
And Bump's going to hire some rich benefit. Bump's going to become the Phil Knight of Wazoo.
Bump's going to be like, yeah, I remember Sarah and Chris. They were they were great friends I had so many years ago. It's been a month.
What was the other guy? Mark. Was it Mark?
Mark. What I need to know, if you can only have one streaming service, what do you pick and why?
One streaming. That's tough, man, because Fubo allows me to watch the Mariners.
Oh, yeah.
But I like Hulu because their series are nice on that.
Yeah.
So I'd go with Hulu, and then I'd find a way to watch the Mariners.
Yeah, the thing that Hulu has, you're right, is what a current series on TV mm-hmm. that you can't. Like, Netflix has their series.
Yeah.
And, like, some older shows, you know, maybe there's already, you know, it's syndicated, so they put it on there. Movies, it's all great, but... I want to watch. I have a lot of reality shows I watch. Mm-hmm. I need to tune in. What I need to know, Bump. How can I not become apathetic with Chun going to UW? After Smith, now this. I just don't care.
Hey, you know, I don't like telling people how to feel in certain situations, at least not in the moment. Now, tomorrow I'll tell you how to feel. But today, you know, you just, whatever your heart tells you, you feel it. Go get Sorry. Mad. Be happy. I don't know. Do whatever. Tomorrow I'll tell you how to feel.
This was not for what I need to know. It was during our last segment when we were talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. going at number 4, Roma Dunze not going outside the top 10. This person said, no wide receiver is worth a top 10 pick ever. Not one. Prove me wrong.
Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson,
Julio Jones,
Jamar Chase. I mean, come on. That's enough. That's enough right there. 4 or 5 of those guys in the game. Are you watching football? Do you see how many times the ball is being thrown in the air? Who has to catch that thing? Receivers. Justin Jefferson. Did he go top 10? Yeah, Justin Jefferson went top 10, didn't he?
He was, I think, in the 20s.
Oh, 20s? Okay.
Yeah. Bad. But, I mean, if you're going to redraft that draft, he's going top 2 probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
$1.1 billion. That's all it would take. What I need to know, you can watch a game from one spot at T-Mobile for the rest of your life. Where are you watching? You cannot include suites. It's got to be a place us commoners can have access to. So I'll take out the press box and everything, too.
Oh, can't have access to?
Can. So it needs to be a place where if you are a fan without
Diamond
access
Club.
To a press box.
You can pay for them tickets. Diamond Club. That's
they said not including suites. I would put,
let's do just
I put Diamond Club
areas
as a suite.
In the park.
Man, okay, I would go.
This is shower bench Bump talking. This is $1.1 billion golf course owner Bump talking.
I'm going right behind first base. I like that view.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm going... We usually have, as a company, our tickets. I like those seats. It's like a section 300-something. It's like a couple rows.
In the top level?
It's between... It's to the right of home plate. I always feel like that's a good spot to be because it's behind the Mariners dugout, so you can still kind of peep in there and see what's going on.
If we're going like cheap seats, I think the best cheap seats in the ballpark are the left field bleachers. Mm-hmm. They're really...
During the summer, that's really... Except for really, really, really hot days.
True. So you're getting roasted in the sun.
I got sunburn out there before.
It's a vibe out there, man.
It is. You know what my answer is not? Beer garden.
Yeah. Nah. It's just, the pen...
Y'all, let me tell you
it's
what.
A little crazy
it's chaotic
out there.
In there.
If you were born pre-1999...
I'd be 25 years old.
I'll add a couple. If you were born pre-1996,
yeah.
pre-1996, and you walk into the Penn, the beer garden, I've never felt older in my entire
Man,
life.
I ran into kids. I used to coach. What, Coach Bub! Don't call me coach.
You were like,
Don't
I gotta,
call me
coach. I gotta go. I gotta go. I simply cannot be here.
I'm gonna get my Modelo's and I'm out of here.
It's just a moment of like, what am I? Did I walk into a high school party? Oh my God, I need to leave. All right, you guys, that will do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, you have daytime baseball coming your way next. It's Mariners spring training, wrapping spring training up soon here. Don't go anywhere.